Good to be in his house. Good to be with you. Luke chapter 4, if you got your Bible, look with us there. Luke, the fourth chapter. Just going to turn there for a moment. Appreciate Brother Ike offering the opportunity to share. Maybe we'll say something that the Lord will get the glory out of. Look in this spot in the fourth chapter, first verse. We're just going to read the first few verses right here and set the table for where we'll go. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. The devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Father, take the reading of the word today and bless it. We pray, speak it to every heart. God, illuminate our understanding by it. We'll give you praise. All the glory will we give you, God. And we'll love you better. We ask you to minister, Lord, to the one that's lost. If there's a lost one, save them. A backslider, reclaim them. And God, stir you people. Lord, illuminate our hearts. God, open our eyes to the glories. Lord God of heaven, we pray. Make it real to us through your word, and we'll give you all the praise. Heal the sick. God, those today that are hospitalized and hurting, we ask you, God, to minister to them. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen and amen. Watch what Jesus said in the fourth verse. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Go back to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. So many times we read things, and how many times does it say it is written? Jesus was the master of preaching what was already written. And so when he said it is written. And then remember this tempting of the Lord, three times he was tempted. And so as Satan tempted him right there, you can read the instance in Luke 4, but also in Matthew 4. Matthew 4, Luke 4, parallel, they give the same account, the gospel writers give the same account of the tempting of the Lord Jesus by Satan. Matter of fact, we preached a little bit about that for the radio this morning. And so how Satan is tempting the Lord that made him. Now, God created Satan. He didn't create him as Satan. He created him as Lucifer, the beautiful angelic being, one of the only three angels ever listed by name. And so we got Michael, the archangel. We got Gabriel, the bearer of good news. And we got Lucifer, the bad guy. But God didn't create him a bad guy, did he? God created him to be part of that angelic host. And so, and he was until he rebelled. And his rebellion caused him a problem. It caused him to be cast out. And as he was cast out, here we find it where he's tempting the Lord Jesus. And so how crazy is this that Satan is tempting Jesus with his own word? The Christ that made him, that breathed him into existence. And he thought he could outsmart him, but he couldn't do it. And Jesus said, it is written. Jesus didn't even get the big artillery out for this, did he?
No.
He just went back to what was already written. And he said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I like that. Yeah. And so where did that stem from? In Deuteronomy 8, you're probably already there waiting, but in Deuteronomy 8, we're going to see exactly where Jesus pulled this word out. And so there are many things, Brother Danny, that we see are there are just milestone scriptures. We say those are iconic scriptures, but truly, as great as every word of God is, this was not one of those. And so he just pulled this out of some of the files of Moses. You know, if we went through Moses' files, he would have got this out of the files of Moses. And you're going to see the setting where he got the word, and it shows us how important the word of God is to our everyday life. And so we read by something and we say, yeah, we know it said that, but how powerful is that?
Yeah.
But this is what Jesus gave it and fed it straight to the devil. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And God set this up right here in Deuteronomy 8. And Moses is reminding them. Now let me tell you where it is in Moses' life. He's in the last few days of his life. God is about to, and if you want to wonder how short life is, Moses is 120 when God killed him. And God is about to lead him. Matter of fact, he's real close to telling him, let's go ahead and get things set up, and we're going to go over yonder, and I'm going to bury you. God buried him because he couldn't let them bury him. If he'd have let them bury him, they'd have been worshiping him, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
They'd still be over worshiping Moses today. So God wouldn't let those Israelites bury him. He buried him, took him up in the mountain, buried him. So he anointed Joshua to be the leader in his stead, and God buried Moses. Well, it's close to that time when God's about to bury Moses. And so if we want the right perspective on this life, we'll get that from watching men in the Word of God like Moses, who knew his time was short. Paul said something about that, didn't he? He said, I'm now ready to be offered, the time of my departure is at hand. And so we look at death as a terrible thing, but really it's not so. It's the graduation. It's the graduating from this life to that life, from this home to that home, from this tent to that mansion. Amen. It's funny, Brother Ike was talking about the tents, because yesterday the kids brought up about camping. They just wanted to go camping again. And so you know what they said about camping? One of them said, he says, well, I didn't really like it. That darkness was a little too dark. Yeah. They didn't like it quite that dark. And so, you know, if we knew, I said, well, it was pretty dark when Abraham's laying out there on the mountainside looking at them stars and asking God to help him understand this whole thing about can you number the stars? And I can't quite number them. And he said, neither will you be able to number your seed after you.
Yeah.
And so this is part of that seed, and Abraham has lived his life. God's graduated him, but God has not forgot, church. He's not forgot his people. He made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Where we're reading in Deuteronomy 8, I really believe the only reason this people is left is because of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God was respectful unto those that he made a promise to. Now there's hope here. God has made a hope to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we pray in Jesus' name? Because our prayers ain't worth much outside of Jesus' name, are they? And so when we approach God's throne, Brother Donnie, we do it in Jesus' name. Because that's where our hope is. That's where God's respect is. Matter of fact, God's already declared it. We may not get to read it because there's so much we don't want to read everything. But God's already declared it because of those I made this promise to. And Moses, that was his leverage point. See, in the believer's life, we're talking about the everyday believer's life, not the fluff and the puff and all this stuff, but in the real believer's life, we have to understand we approach God through prayer in Jesus' name. It is where our leverage lies. And so it's the one thing God will pay attention to for dead certain when we ask it in Jesus' name. Now watch this. Read with me. In chapter 8, verse number 2. We'll start there. I think we need verse 2 to set the stage. And thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart. See, they were on God's testing ground. God said, I'm going to check you. I'm going to try your ways. I'm going to test you and see where your heart is, that I might know your heart, to know whether thou wouldest keep his commandment or no. And he humbled thee, this is Moses' writings, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna. Remember, that was the cry in the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus. They said, we got nothing to eat, Moses. We got nothing to eat. And God gave them manna. And every day, manna was out there fresh, wasn't it? Fresh bread from heaven. And so this is why Jesus is using this text in Matthew 4:4. But watch what he said. He said, he done this to feed you with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word. Here it is. That proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. God fed you. Watch verse 3. He humbled you and suffered you to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not. And watch now. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread alone. God gave them manna, but manna is not the only thing that sustains us, is it? We need the Word of God. See, without the Word of God, all the substance will not matter. And thy raiment, watch what Moses said. I like this in the fourth verse. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. And so not only did God feed them manna, but God wants them to pay attention to every word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone. God was not dependent on manna falling from heaven to sustain them. He was dependent upon them, dependent upon his word. And he said, watch it, for 40 years, what happened? Your raiment, your clothes didn't wear out, and your shoes held up pretty good. God said, I gave you all these things, and your foot hadn't swelled, you hadn't needed any liniment, you're doing real good in the foot department. And thou shalt also consider in thine heart, there's a man chastening his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Thou shalt keep his commandments. Keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord God, pardon me, thy God, bringeth thee into a good land, to a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths and springs, out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vine and fig tree and pomegranates, and of a land of olive oil, pardon me, oil, olive, and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, and thou shalt not lack anything in it, whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Now, if you take this chapter and you count them all, there's at least a half a dozen times God talks about the good things. And what does God want us to have? He wants us to have good things. He's provided good things. And he's in the business of giving out good things. This is the point that he drives home right here. That I've sustained you, I've kept you. God said, I gave you manna, but I didn't give you manna to eat forever. I wanted you to eat better things than manna. Better things God's provided. But look at the 11th verse. Beware. This is where the problem lies in the human heart today. Beware lest thou forget, pardon me, that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandment and his judgments and statutes, which I command thee this day. What did he say? Beware, lest thou, when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. God understands multiplication. God understands how to add to us, how to multiply to us. He said, your gold, your silver, all these things. He said, don't forget them. Don't forget them. Remember, when all this has happened, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. So God's reminded Moses of where he's brought him from, where he's bringing him to, and what God wants, what God expects out of his people. I like this because we see it. God's provision, the daily provision, church, is not to be taken lightly. It's God's hand. Our brother Raymond was talking about some things this morning that's going on in our country. Our country is very young in the history of the world, how countries have sustained. Our country is just 200 and some few years old. It's not that old. God sustains us, or God can park us and put us aside, can he? And so we find it here that Israel, God's reminding Israel of where he's brought them from. And so all of these things, God said, I give you a good wardrobe, give you good shoes, good lands, good fountains, good water. He said, I want you to remember, we're going to see it in two verses right here, not only who has led you, but who has fed you. God said, I want you to be reminded of this in verses 15. Who led thee that thou... through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought. There was no water. Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? And God said in verse 16, who's fed you? Yeah. Who's led you and fed you in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. God said, don't say it, don't say it. And it's what we do. The human heart says, I've done that. Yeah. You know what happens in our dependency? We pray a little bit, but then as soon as things level out, you know, we revert back to, we get the I syndrome. We began to think we've done it. My hand hath gotten me this wealth. God said, that's what you'll say, but don't say it. My power and the might of mine hand, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. And God said, be sure, and it shall be that if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, what's going to happen? Ye shall, verse 19, surely perish. God said these things, and he's reminding Moses. And Moses is reminded. Matter of fact, Moses reminded some things God's brought him through. But I'm going to tell you, it's not because of our goodness that we're kept, is it? No. It's not because of our righteousness. This is one of the worst problems today, is that people think, well, I've done that. I deserve that. And in our society, it says, you owe me that. This is the same thing that we bring back to the Lord sometimes, and God's not well pleased with us. Matter of fact, Moses is going to take some opportunities to remind them of why they were where they are. And so where they were and got what God wanted, and how God was three times right here. Moses shut up with God three times at 40 days. And 40 nights, and every time he came back to a rebellious people. It's much where David was. We have to have the attitude of David, church, the attitude that says, who am I? Remember when he asked a question over in 2 Samuel? In 2 Samuel 7, I'll give it to you quick. 2 Samuel 7, David wants to build God a house. And he said, I want to build God a house. And Nathan, I thank God for Nathan the prophet. But remember what Nathan said? Nathan said, that's a good idea, David. Why don't you go ahead and build God a house? And when Nathan got home, there was just one problem with that. God wasn't interested in David building a house. And not only was he not interested, he wasn't going to allow it. And he said, Nathan, you get back over there, son, and tell David he can't build a house. And that it was in his heart. It was in his heart to do it. But we're not going to let him do it. Why? Because he's a man of blood. Now watch this. You want to see the goodness of God. I'm going to flip right here because I do want to read a couple of verses here. But see this, where God has told David. He's told him, he said, I want to build God a house. And he said, no, you're not going to build me a house, David. But I want to show you mercy, son. You're a man of blood, much bloodshed. And you're not going to build a house, but I'm going to establish your house. The God of all grace, church, is the God that tells David, no, you can't build me a house, but I am going to establish your house, and I am going to do it forever. Watch in the 15th verse, or listen as we read it. My mercy, God said, shall not depart away from him, talking about David's seed, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. What a promise. But see then, in the 18th verse, this is what I want you to get. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord God? Who am I that God would establish me a house? He wanted to build God one, but God instead built him one. You know, Moses is going to remind the people, it's not our worthiness, Brother Jimmy. It's not our worthiness. Not unto us. Not unto us, O Lord. It's not us. It's him.
Amen.
You know, people think, this is what happens. People today listen to the Word of God and they watch. And this, I think we could all say, if we were honest, there's a part of this as we come up into our adult years, whatever be the case, we see, and there's a stigma that goes with the church, and we say, well, those are all a bunch of goody-goody folks that's got it all figured out. But nothing could be further from the truth, could it? You see, salvation is of the Lord. This is what Moses, we're going to get back and read something Moses said to the people, because we think salvation is our goodness in what we do, but it's absolutely nothing like that. It's being vessels of God's mercy. See, the quicker we understand that to be saved is to be born again, is to be blood bought, born again. But it's only one thing. It's God imparting saving faith into our old dark heart. And we receive that. And God bursts us into the family of God, much like these Jews. These Jews, I'm going to tell you, we want to pray for the peace of Jerusalem or what have you. But those Jews were no different. They're no different than a red-blooded American today because they could not and would not understand. I'll give you an example of that. Moses up on the mount with God 40 days, 40 nights. He has made him two tables of stone. And God is up there with his finger. Can you imagine this? It's right up on the hilltop. God's writing with his finger those Ten Commandments. God did it. And so this is such an awesome event that the children of Israel said, Moses, you go talk to God. We don't want to hear from him no more. He's a mighty sobering fellow. And, you know, it wasn't a real pleasant sight when fire come down on the mount. And you go up and talk to him. But this rebellious outfit, people said, preacher, if I ever get it all figured out, then I will come to Christ and be saved. Well, that'll never happen. And the sooner you realize it's come to Christ as you are and repent today and believe God today. Because those rebellious Jews, you know when they got it figured out? They never figured it out. That's
right.
When.
That's right.
Same time we do.
Yeah.
Because the old human heart, that old seed of Adam, how many times do we hide it? We hide it. We hide it. Was talking about a little bit earlier how that children, what happens? We are. You want to see where you are spiritually speaking? Watch your children. Because your children, you know, they get little toddlers. We've been pulling up some of them old pictures and things when they were real small, little funny stuff, you see. And so what happens? You walk into the room and they got something they're supposed to have and they put it behind their back. Like you don't know they put it behind their back, see. But what Adam was doing? God came in the garden to cool of the day and what's Adam doing? He's hiding. He's hiding. He didn't think God knowed about it. And see, that's what we do. And so here we find it that we in our humanity, we never get past this. Talking about Satan, let's talk about him just a minute. As he came and provoked the Lord and tempted the Lord and said, if you're the Son of God, do this. And if you're the Son of God, do that. And all these things. And see, watch now. You want to see the blindness of Satan himself. This is why we won't give no homage and no reverence to Satan at all. You know why? Because spiritually speaking, he is as dumb as the rest of us. And you see it right here in the fact that he thinks he can pull one over on the Lord Jesus that made him.
Amen.
Don't that amaze you? If you be the Son of God, do this. If you do this, I'll give you all these kingdoms and the glory of them. Watch it. It's blindness, blindness, blindness. Paul taught like this in Romans the 9th chapter. He said, blindness in part hath happened to Israel. He said, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Remember that? For they being ignorant. You know where most people are today? Right there in Romans 10:4. Romans 10:4. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So what's it take? How do we submit? Preacher, how do I get saved? How do I come to Christ? You come as you are, where you are, when you are, and you submit yourself to the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wasn't that the problem? In Romans 10, that was the problem. Paul said, I pray for them. I bear them record. They got a zeal. They got a zeal, but a zeal ain't going to get it done. Those Muslims got a zeal, don't they? Yeah, one of the fellas, you know, he was just one of these bread fellas, aid workers. I seen him. They had a portrait of him. Did y'all see the picture today? He was getting bread off a truck, going to feed the hungry. And so what happened? These ISIS people have beheaded him and taken him out. And he didn't have a machine gun or a grenade. He just passing bread out to the hungry people. And they slew him. They got a zeal, but a zeal's not where it's at. And so those Jews had a zeal, didn't they? It was those Jews that put Christ on the cross. They had a zeal for what they thought was right, but they were deceived. And so it's not about thinking we're right. It's not about our theology unless our theology is submission to the Lord Jesus. And here Paul is reminded those in Romans. And here David is reminded, and watch what he said. He said, who am I, O Lord God, that you would show me any mercy. And Moses, brother, he was like that. Remember, he's the fugitive that's running from God. He has murdered a man back there in Egypt. He's on every post office in the land of Midian. He's a wanted man on the backside of the desert. But God's got a call for his life. And when God put his call on him, he couldn't believe. Now, he saw an awesome wonder in that burning bush. And he had to come back and look one more time. And he even had to pull his shoes off because he said, this is holy ground. And God done a work in his life right there. And you know what he wants to do? He wants to do a work in yours today, but it's a work of faith. It's God's call by faith. And so what was David? David was the recipient of God's free grace, even as Moses was. And Moses said, Lord, I'm not very worthy to do any of these things you've called me to do. Matter of fact, if I go back there, I don't think they'll listen to me. But God said, go, Moses. And he said, I've prepared some things, and we're going to lead this people out. You're going to be the leader. And he said, well, my tongue don't talk just right. So, you know, sometimes, Lord, my words don't come out right. And he said, I'll raise up Aaron. I'm going to tell you, God's going to have his way, church. And the best thing we can do is submit to God's perfect will. That's what he said.
Amen.
And so as he brought them out, it didn't change the heart of the people. They're rebellious, rebellious, rebellious. And some of them were destroyed along the way, weren't they? But it wasn't God's will. God said, I want you to remember where I brought you from, how I fed you, and I led you. I like that, don't you? He said, I fed you, and I led you, and I brought you out. But I'm going to tell you, there's some good things over there. God gave them some really good things, didn't he? God gave them good groceries. He didn't want them. See, this is what brought the whole thing up. God said, I didn't want you to eat manna all that time. I had some things over there. Their departure. Watch now. I'm going to show you this. You want to see the rebellion of man fighting against God when God only wants us to have the only thing he wants in every life here is good things. It's the only thing he wants. And so he let them out. And that was about a 12-month journey from the time they came out of Egypt in to Canaan at Kadesh Barnea. And so we find it here. That's not a very long journey. Millions of Jews God has led and kept and fed them. God did not intend for them to eat manna 40 years. Wasn't his plan. His plan was to go into Canaan and enjoy it. Enjoy the goodness. God said, I'm going to lead you in, and I'm going to fight the battle for you. But Joshua and Caleb come back. They're excited. Bless God. They got grapes that big around. I don't know how big they are, but they're big enough. They toting them on a pole. Pretty big grapes, ain't they? And so they toting them. They got them on a pole. Two folks on a pole, like they'd carry a calf yearling. And they got grapes up there. And God said, hey, not only so, there's 10 verses 2. Watch now. You know what happened? They put it to a vote. They put it to a vote. And the vote didn't go right. That's why we got to be careful about what we vote on. Sometimes the vote don't go right. And they said, well, let's vote on it. 12 of you boys went over and spied out the land. Let's see what we're going to do. And it was 10 verses 2 that we do not go. But it wasn't the will of God, was it?
That's right.
And those 10 verses 2 cost them 40 years of suffering. 40 years of going round and around in the wilderness. But God said, even through that, I led you and I fed you and I kept you. But he said, I'm going to carry you where there's some good groceries. Figs, honey.
Yeah,
grapes. I was in a scuppling vine the other day. True story. I was in a scuppling vine the other day, and the lady, I called her at home. I said, that your vine? She said, yeah. Well, I done spotted them. It's right here close to the road. And she said, get all you want. Get all. She said, you want a bag? I said, well, if you got one. So she brought me a bag. And I'm just having a heyday getting out them big old pretty bronze scuppings. And boy, one of them old red walls come out there, and he rent the party, didn't he? He lammed it to me. And so you know what God said? God said, I'm going to take the hornet. He said, them enemies you got over there, he said, I'm going to take the hornet, and I'm going to drive them out little by little. Isn't that what he said? He said, I ain't going to drive them out all at one time, because then the beast would overtake you. God's got it all planned out for your life, church. Everything about your life, God's got it planned. We can't see around the curves and the corners, but God can.
Yeah.
We can't see over the hills. We don't know. I was following a guy the other day, and he might have been intoxicated. I don't know what happened. He might have been on the phone, but one of the worst hills in that community, he goes over that hill in the wrong lane. Can he see over the hill? No. And so that's how bad things happen. We got that. But I'm telling you, he goes over the hill in the wrong lane. But God can see over the hills. God can see around the corners and the curves.
Yeah.
God said, I'm going to lead them out. And I'm going to feed you and keep you and lead you. And all these things I'm going to do. But watch what God said right here. I want you to see something. Chapter 9. God said, Hear, O Israel, verse 1, thou art to pass over Jordan this day. See, Moses has got to go because he can't go into Canaan. He couldn't go into Canaan because he disobeyed. Sin has consequences. We can't change that.
Right.
But it don't change the goodness of God. And so he said, you're going in this day. And you're going in to possess nations greater and mightier than yourself. How are we going to do that? How are we? Now let's put this on a spiritual perspective. How are we as God's people going to move on to higher planes that are greater than we can even think to attain? God, that's how.
Amen.
Greater nations, cities great and fenced up to heaven. I ain't making this up. It's right there in 9 verse 1. A people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest, of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? That was the motto. Who can stand? That's what they, when they had a parade, that's what they come down blowing their little horns, and that's what they were singing. Who can stand before the children of Anak? They said, everybody's heard them say it. It's out there. That's it, the motto. Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, when God goes before us, church, there's nowhere we can't go.
That's right.
If God's leading us somewhere, you may be unsaved today, and God's calling you unto a place of redemption, salvation. God wants to establish you. God wants to birth you into his kingdom. God wants you to receive of his favor, become one of his. That's a new birth. That is a relationship with Christ we're talking about. But it could be that a believer, God's calling you somewhere you've never been before.
There you go. That's right.
God wants to get us there, and he knows how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what he said? They said, who can stand before the children of Anak? That's what they said. But God said, Hear, O Israel, you're to pass over this day. Understand, therefore, this day, verse 3, that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over. Before thee, as a consuming fire, shall he destroy them. Now, you don't have to do this right now, but if you went back sometime to Deuteronomy chapter 2, you know what you're going to see? There were lots of giants. And they were tribes of giants. They were the Emims, and they had all kind of names. Those of Anak, and they were some I can't even think about right now. But there was one, they were some giants, had a pretty cool name. If you remember them, I don't know if you see them back in chapter 2. They were the Zamzumans. And the Zamzumans, I always thought, you know, if I was going to be a giant back then, I had to be a heathen, I'd want to be a Zamzuman, wouldn't you? That's just a cool name. And God said, hey, the Zamzumans, he said, even them. God said, I'm he that as a consuming fire shall destroy them. So you know what the children of Israel's got to say? They don't have anything to say. God said, go, I'm going to go before you. I'm going to be the consuming fire. Doesn't this make you think of Hebrews 12:29? Hebrews 12:29, where the word said, for our God is a consuming fire. Now see, we liken that unto that time right there in chapter 12 when the writer's writing about what happened in the Holy Mount. But I'm telling you, we could take that to application and maybe God will drive out our enemies. Our God is a consuming fire is what he said. He shall destroy them. He will. What's he going to do? He shall bring them down before thy face. I don't know what giants you're facing today, and I don't know their name. Bless God, they might have lots of different names. But I know the God of all grace is able to defeat all giants and cast them out and get them out of your way. And God give you great favor. I believe that, don't you? Whatever the giants are. You know, people get saved, but they got all kinds of addictions and problems they got to get rid of. And I remember this. I'm talking about from experience. I remember those things that were addictions and problems for me when God saved me. You know what had to happen? It had to be dealt with. And so when God saves us, I don't mean we sprout wings and halos overnight, does it? We don't ever do that.
No.
When God saves us, He's got places He wants to bring us.
Right.
When God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, that was redemption. Salvation's redemption.
Right.
But I tell you, there's a bringing forward. There's a time of sanctification in the believer's life when God wants to rid them of what they need to be rid of.
Right.
God wants to get some giants out of their life. And sometimes those giants come in packs of 20. And sometimes those giants come in little round cans, don't they?
Yeah.
And sometimes they come in little funny cigarette papers.
Yeah.
And sometimes they come in straws where people snort and needles where people shoot.
Yeah.
And sometimes it comes in the forms of unsavory material that's tucked away in their lives. And God wants to get those things out. And He only wants to get the giants out. Sometimes those giants are religion. And sometimes the giants that we deal with are the things of pride and arrogancy. And God just wants to get us where He can use us. That's
Amen.
What He wants.
Right.
And so shalt thou drive them out. Watch this. And destroy them quickly.
Right.
What can break the yoke like the Spirit of God? Nothing.
Amen.
In ourselves we can wrestle and wrestle and wrestle. But God said, quickly. Whatever's bothering us,
yes,
it don't matter what it is.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't matter what the giant is in our life. God said, quick,
yes.
I can get it out.
Right.
Speak not thou in thine heart after the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me. God said, don't say that.
Oh,
whatever you do, don't say that. See, that's another trick of the devil, right? Yes. When something good happens in our life, the enemy tries to impart pride and self-righteousness inside and lift us up and puff us up. He said, don't do that. Don't do that. Well, look at verse 5. Not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land. Look down to verse 6. Understand, therefore. God said, that's twice He's used that, by the way. He used it back in verse 3. And now He's using it again in verse 6. Moses said, understand. You know, sometimes the church needs to understand.
Right.
They need to understand where they really are.
Right.
Where we really are.
Amen.
It helps us if we understand that, doesn't
That's
it?
Right.
And then we won't get self-righteous if we really understand where we are. And we need to understand where hurting people are. Where sinners are,
yeah.
Where saints that are cast down are, we need to understand where our brother and sister is, our neighbor is, our family is. We need to understand it. Not for thy righteousness. God said, understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness. See, when we say it like Paul, I'm the chief of sinners. Of whom I'm chief. You know what he said?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he said, it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. You know why I believe Paul could love sinners? Because he always kept it in the fourth part of his mind and heart.
It,
he was the chief of sinners. Still wondering why God saved him. Still wondering why God called him out on a dirty dirt road to Damascus. Still wondering why God didn't smite him in the awesomeness of His power like a little Canaanite and kill him. No, God called him. See, when we can remember where we come from, bless God, we can help people get where they're going.
Yeah.
Understand. Not for thy righteousness. Watch verse 6. God said, for thou art a stiff-necked people. That's why David said, who am I? That's why David said, why is God showing me any mercy? That's why he said, and this whole Bathsheba experience is in the 11th chapter. It's not very far away when God showed David mercy. You think God didn't know about that? He did.
Yep.
Did God see what would happen in the history records of David's life? He knew all about it. But He called him. God calls us. Watch now, just one more time or two. I want you to see something here. And Moses is reciting what God's done and is telling them where God brought them. He said, look in verse 8 or 7. Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord Remember also verse 8 in Horeb, ye provoked the Lord. What happened? Got on God's bad side. Yeah, done things where God wanted to bring judgment against you. But there's Moses, the prayer man. Look in the 19th verse. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time. The last thing I want you to see. And the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron. You know what I see in this 8th and 9th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy? I see Moses talking about how the children of Israel were just like you and I. They were real people with real problems and a real Savior. So what do we need? We need God to get the giants out. We need God to bring us. Look at 23. When the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I've given you. Then ye rebelled and ye believed him not. It's not what God wants. Moses said, God wanted you to go. God wanted to give you good things. There's so many good things over there. Those grapes on a pole was just a portion of the good things God wanted to give you. And Moses said, I went back to prayer, and for 40 days and 40 nights I prayed again. Three times. What a man of prayer. What a leader. God make us that today, church. We need to understand, no matter where you are today, saved or lost, God's got a place He wants to get us. Amen. If you're outside of saving grace, He wants to save you.
Right.
You know what happens? I remember this. I remember a young lady who wasn't so young after this point in time. But I remember a young lady who said this. She said, I have played the part for all these years. And as far as all my family thinks, I've been saved a long time. But she said, I've never been saved. Never been saved. Now, what would be more important? Her to swallow her pride and to come get right with God and have a new heart and a new start? Or to pretend and play and suppose? And you know what the enemy says? The enemy says things like this. What will people think if you do something like that? I want to tell you, the enemy's a liar and a thief. The truth's not in him. God calls us, right? God calls us unto Himself through His marvelous grace. And as we stand together, church, I want to ask you this. Whatever those giants are you face, it could be habits, it could be problems, it could be wars within, wars without. It could be many of those things. As Brother Ike comes, I'm going to turn it over to him. I want to ask you this. Whatever those giants are, as we stand head bow, eyes closed, whatever those giants are this morning, God wants to get them out. God wants to rid you of the things that beset you, the things that hinder you, the things that stop us, that stops the flow of God, stops the communion in our heart. Those things God wants to get out. And He said, whoever and whatever your giants are, He said, I'll move them. Whatever it is, God will move it. He's in the business of moving things in our life. Amen. As she plays, you need prayer this morning. You come.